All right, Rabbi Yossi. So let's actually continue. We started this piece last week, so I want to continue a little bit. A beautiful piece by Lag BaOmer. So Rabbi Nachman writes the following. This is paragraph A. He says, "V'ikar pegam shel talmid Rabbi Akiva." The real mistake of the talmidim of Rabbi Akiva haya shelo haisa b'neihem ava v'schabros. Of course, the major downfall of the students of Rabbi Akiva was that there was not love and connectedness between them. K'mosha amun Rabbi Sina zechoron levracha kihem hayutzrichem lahamshich Torah ulatakim tzimtzumim v'kelim. Because remember, we spoke about this last week, that the talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, their job, their mission was to go ahead and bring down the divine presence. The job of the Talmud Chacham is ultimately through his learning, through his Torah, and most importantly through the example that he sets, is to be able to bring down the Shechina into this world. Ki al yidei ka'os v'diburu parasha shel Torah kidosha, v'ayidei kol halacha v'halacha, na'asim kelim v'tzimtzumim l'kabal or ha'ein sof. So remember again, we spoke about this last week, that the job of the Talmud Chacham is to be able to go ahead, literally, lahamshich Torah, to bring down Torah, letakim tzimtzumim v'kelim, and to be able to make the people, to make the nation, into the proper types of utensils who are capable of receiving divine blessing, who are capable of receiving bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in order to do that, understand that a person has to have a love for his fellow Jew. If I don't have a love, if I'm not mekayim v'yafrecha kamocha, then it's impossible ultimately for me to bring down that divine energy into my nation, into my people. Paragraph B. V'apigam shalohem haya, shalohaya b'em ava. The mistake, of course, of the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva is that they did not have love between them. They didn't have ava. He says, because in order to go ahead, means, remember, Tzimtzum is a concept in Chassidus, that a Chodesh Baruch Hu is something, an entity that is great, and God is Mitzamtzim, he contracts himself. So to take that Tzimtzum and bring it down to the people is an incredible avodah. And to go ahead and bring down the great light, Kama nefashos rabos miYisrael yachad. Ultimately, again, in order to be able to do this, a person has to be the type of individuals able to bring others together. In other words, the only way to bring bracha to Klal Yisrael is ultimately to be one who loves Klal Yisrael. If you don't have a feeling of love, if you don't have a feeling of connectedness to your fellow Jew, it's impossible to bring down bracha that will devolve upon the nation. He goes on, he says, Kitzrichim lozakilim rabim, she afshar, she taknu kiim ayude kama vakama alofim neshamus. Shem eschabram yachod, bi aval ki ish echod, at she yuchlu lekabel, badagel karoi, or hagodl hazeh, biakim, lo nitna Torah achnis kaptu shishim revo Yisrael yachar bi'avo. That's why, again, for example, Torah was only given to Klal Yisrael when there were 600,000 people together. In other words, that we've seen this concept before in Rabbi Nachman, that in order for certain bracha to devolve upon the nation, there has to be achdus. That's why, again, if you remember, let's say by Matan Torah, before Klal Yisrael received the Torah, so what does the Torah say? Vayichan Yisrael sham neged ahar. The Klal Yisrael, singular, camped opposite the mountain. And Rashi HaKadosh points out, Vayichan Yisrael, why singular? Ki ish echad b'lev echad. There was unity. Where there's unity, you're able to bring down the Shechina. Where there's love, you can bring down the Shechina. Where there's togetherness, you can bring down bracha. But in the absence of that, so individuals could personally succeed, but the bracha is not brought down to the Am. V'chein Abra, the bracha, skip a little bit. Turn to paragraph. See, he says, ki im efshar lahamshich bechinas hashras hashchina shuis galus elokuso, because it is impossible ultimately again to bring out the hashras hashchina. It is impossible to go ahead and bring out a divine manifestation shuis galus elokuso ela al yedei kibbutz nefashos rabos miYisrael. The only way ultimately again to bring down HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with the multitudes of people. Only, yes.
What percentage quantifies multitudes?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. I think at least what it means is your immediate group. your community, your region, your area. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what it means. I don't know if no one person, you know, like unless you're Moshe Rabbeinu, can take responsibility for the klal. But other than that, I have responsibility for my peer group, for my chevra, for my kehila. Exactly. That's again the most basic level of responsibility. See, he goes on, he says, the Ikra Tikkun, so listen to how beautiful this is, in paragraph D, he says, the Ikra Tikkun, Haya al Yidei Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai v'chaverav. So the Ikra Tikkun was through Rashbi. So remember again, see, here you have, according to Rabbi Nachman, the mistake of Rabbi Akiva's students, not Rabbi Akiva, because remember, here's the irony, Rabbi Akiva is the one, if you remember, when the, it was Hillel, but Rabbi Akiva was the one who said that v'yahavta l're'acha kamocha hu klal gadol b'Torah. Right? Rabbi Akiva was the one who said that loving your fellow like you love yourself is one of the most important principles of the Torah. So the irony of ironies is that his own Talmidim seemed to fail to actualize this lesson. So the Gemara says, lo nagu kavo zeva ze. Rabbi Nachman understands that to mean they just didn't love each other. Now here's what's interesting. Rabbi Nachman is not saying that they weren't nice to each other. He's not saying they mistreated each other. He's saying their failure was that they didn't love each other. That was the failure. That they did not love each other the way Jews should love each other. And when Jews don't love each other, when Rabbi Nachman says, when there's not a kibbutz nefashas rabos mi Yisrael, what happens is the bracha can't come down. And the default of the bracha, I shouldn't say the default, the result of the bracha not coming down is terrible catastrophic events. So according to Rabbi Nachman, what's really happening over here with the students of Rabbi Akiva is not as much a punishment as much as it is a result of a lack of internal love. It's a result, ultimately, of a lack of achdus. When there's low nagu kavod zeh lazeh, the shechina, the bracha, can't come down. When the shechina, the bracha, can't come down, ultimately, terrible things occur.
Can you point out a time in our history and there was that amount of
achdus? By Har Sinai we had this. When Klal Yisrael gets to the base of Mount Sinai, they had this. By the Purim story, the end of the Megillah, Kimu v'Kiblu, they had this. Unfortunately, it's not necessarily the norm. You know, it's more the exception than it is the rule, but it's what we aspire to.
What was it that led to, sort of a tangent, but led to Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim having a chisaron in this area until they all died, and then Rabbi Akiva continued with more Talmidim, and then they obviously did not have the chisaron.
Right.
What was it like up until this point? They all did, and then now suddenly everybody got it.
It's an excellent shayla. I don't know. You could even compound the shayla, which is how does this happen to Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva?
Right.
The individual long who Talmidim, spent his right. whole life, who said v'afrecha kamochu klal gadol b'Torah, how does this happen to his Talmidim? I don't know, you know, remember, all we have is that one Gemara in Yevamos that tells us that Mipnei Shelo Nagu Kavod Zeh V'Zeh,
right.
And that's it. It doesn't tell us how long it was going on for. It doesn't tell us what was the cause of it. It's the great unknown. The lesson I take from it is, you know, people say, oh, you know, I need a Rebbe who's going to inspire me. I need a teacher. At the end of the day, if a person wants to be inspired, a person has to make a personal decision. You could have the most dynamic, wonderful leader. If my heart's not open, nothing comes in. The proof to that is Rabbi Akiva. You can't ask for a more inspirational Rabbi than Rabbi Akiva. But for whatever reason, there was something lacking. And it's even hard to say because remember, these individuals were the brightest and best of the generation. These were outstanding tzaddikim in their own right. But there was something so deficient. See, here's what's amazing. So that now we have identified what the problem is. Rabbi Nachman suggests that it was Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai who was the tikkun. It was Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai who was the one who fixed this problem. How so? So look what he writes. He says, "Kimuva b'divrei Adonai Meir of Rabbeinu Zichrono Livracha." Third line in paragraph D. Ki Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai asak b'zeh b'yosef takin atzimtzum haniskel el l'takin b'chinas kelim l'hamshich ha'or ein sof l'galus elokusa ba'olam shezel b'chinas kol sefer zohar hakadosh. So I'm going to read these words, then we'll explain it. So Rabbi Nachman says, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai spent his entire life doing one thing, which is revealing the hidden. Right, remember again, we know the Zohar writes that on the day Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was going to die, so he started crying. So Rabbi Shimon has so much more to give, but yet I'm going to leave this world. So a miracle happened, and the sun didn't set. That's one of the reasons. That's one of the reasons we light a bonfire on Lag BaOmer to remember the miracle. The sun did not set, and the day Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai left this world. And Rabbi Shlomo Yochanan that day taught major sections of the Zohar, what's called Idra Zuta, Idra Rabba, and it's that thing that he gave us, Rabbi Shlomo Yochanan gave us Torah's Hanister. He gave us what we call the hidden Torah. Skip down to paragraph E. The Alkin, Nistalik Rabbi Shlomo Yochanan B'Lag Ba'Omer, there Rabbi Shlomo Yochanan died on Lag Ba'Omer, V'Noagin Be'eretz Yisrael Lasos Simcha Gidola Behilula Dilei. So what's interesting is, you know, again, so Lag Ba'Omer in Eretz Yisrael is wild, especially Meron, it's crazy stuff. So it's interesting to note that we make such a big yomtiv on a day that somebody died. A great person died. That's not normally how we mark a yahrzeit, not normally how we go ahead and we mark the passing of a great person. He says, V'noagim Eretz Yisrael, Lasa Simcha Gidol B'Hilula Dilei, Mashalach Ora Haya Ra'oi Lifkos Ulehitzta'er Ma'od Al Histalkuso. In reality, we should have been crying, right? We should have been crying, and ultimately we should have been exceptionally pained over Rabbi Shlomo Bar Yochai's departure, over his leaving of this world. Ach bevadai minag Yisrael Torah. But in reality, minag Yisrael ultimately again is Torah, right? Minag Yisrael ultimately, whenever you see something that is so pervasive in Klal Yisrael, ultimately that tells us that there's something to this. Ki kol ha-simcha hi mashe zachinu shehaya tzadik tekadosh kazeh. So this is just a beautiful perspective. You know, this is that Rabbi Nachman is saying is there's a certain amount of celebration that we were privileged to have such a tzaddik. You know, meaning, you know, this reminds me of there's a famous medrash at the end of Bereishis where the Rashi quotes the discussion between, I don't know if it was Rabbi Akiva and Turnus Rufus or someone else, Rabbi Akiva, I think with Turnus Rufus and one of the Tanoim, and you know, Turnus Rufus was asking that how can you say your God is all knowing? After all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, right? The end of the parasha of Bereishis says, "Vayinochim Hashem," that God literally regretted. He had remorse that he created man. So Turnus Rufus asks, how can you claim that your God is all knowing if he saw what man, if he would have seen what man, Marashach, if he saw what man was going to become, then why did he create him? And if he didn't see it, then he's not all knowing. So Rabbi Akiva answered a beautiful answer. He said, let me ask you, he said, Turnus Rufus, did you ever have a child? Do you have a son? Turnus Rufus said, yes, of course. And what did you do on the day that he was born? Oh, I celebrated. Was it beautiful? Simcha, magnificent. To which Rabbi Akiva says, but didn't you know one day he's going to die? To which Turnus Rufus responds, Be'is chadusa chadusa ube'is avela avela. When it's time to celebrate, you celebrate. When it's time to mourn, you mourn. Meaning, there's an element that when a great person passes away, as tragic as it is, Rabbi Nachman says there's a concept of taking a step back and saying, Ribono shel olam, thank you. Thank you for gracing us with such a great person. Thank you for gracing us with such a tzaddik in this world. So first thing, says Rabbi Nachman, is that we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So on Lag Ba'Omer, which is the Yahrzeit of Rashbi, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us such a great tzaddik, Rabbi Shlomo Bar Yochai. He says, Ach bevadai minag Yisrael Torah, ki kol ha-simcha hi, mashe zachinu shehaya tzaddik v'kadosh kazeh. Paragraph E, fourth line in. Shegil Satorah no Ra'a Kazos, who revealed to us this incredible Torah. V'tikein tikunim ke'ela b'torasa ha'kidosha. And he was metakin many things in his holy Torah. Ad sha'al yidei zeh, anu betuchim shlo tishkach ha'torah mipi zareinu. Now this is interesting, because it was Rav Shem Ba'yochai who ensured the Torah will not be forgotten from our people. So let's analyze this a little bit. Rabbi Nachman now is teaching us two things which we have to find a way to bridge. So first of all, now we understand the mistake of the students of Rabbi Akiva. Now the why, like Dovi mentions, we don't know. Meaning how they got to this point of Shlonagu Kabuzaz. I remember the Rebbe explains that what that means is they didn't love each other. It doesn't mean that they were mean to each other. You know, you could be very civil and very kind and nice to someone and not have any feelings of love towards them. The Rebbe posits that for Klal Yisrael we have to love each other, because the only way to bring bracha, to ultimately bring the Shechina down to this world, is through the Ahavtecha Kamocha. If I don't have that, I can't, the Shechina can't come. It's almost like, you know, parents often say this. So if you ask parents, like, what's the most important thing? Parents, they talk to their children. What's the most important thing parents want from their children? Most important thing parents want from their children. Nachas, more. Just get along. Just get along, right? Parents often say it in exasperation, right? Why can't... But deep down, what a parent is saying is, at the end of the day, look, what you're going to be, who you're going to be, I can't control that. The one thing I ask is that our family be filled with shalom. that our family be filled with love. Because if there's no love, then that erodes the very fabric of family. So the Rebbe is saying the same thing over here. The Rebbe is saying that at the end of the day, the Shekhinah can't come down without Yafrecha Kamocha. That's piece number one. Piece number two is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai gave us a great gift. He revealed the hidden parts of the Torah. And the Rebbe says that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was metakin. He was the one who fixed the mistakes of the students of Rabbi Akiva. Well, I say, so how does that shtim? How does that connect? So perhaps what the Rebbe is saying is like this. What did Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai give us? What did he give us? So he gave us what we call the Torah's Hanistar. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai gave us the hidden elements. That there's Torah's Hanigla and there's Torah's Hanistar. There's revealed Torah, Tanakh, Gemara, Mishnah, Medrash. There's Torah's Hanistar, hidden Torah. The hidden Torah is the Zohar, the Kabbalah. Now today, Chassidus. That's Torah's Hanistar. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai gave us Torah's Hanistar. What does Torah's Hanistar teach us? I want to say, what's the person learns a passage from the Zohar. Person learns a little bit of Chassidus. What's the takeaway you always come out with? The takeaway you always come out with is, there's so much more than meets the eye. There's so much more than meets the eye. You know, you see a pasuk in Chumash, looks very interesting. Then you read in the Zohar, and the Zohar says something dramatically different. And I say, oh my gosh, I never even realized. Like, I've been reading this pasuk for years, and I never saw that beautiful pearl, I never saw that beautiful jewel that was embedded in that pasuk. That's what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai gave us. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai taught us that there's a Torah Sanhedrin, there's a hidden dimension to Torah. There's more than meets the eye. There's more than meets the eye. So listen to this. So perhaps it's Rabbi Nachman is. And by the way, just so you understand, also, this is why, you remember again, when Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was in the cave for all of those years with his son, Rabbi Elazar, when they come out, Rabbi Elazar can't bear to look at the world. He's put off by everything. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai sees that which is deeper. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai taught us the idea that in life, you have to look deeper into things in order to gain their appreciation, or in order to gain an appreciation. You love Torah, it's beautiful, Torah is wonderful. To fully appreciate Torah, you have to go into Torah Sanistar. But it's not just Torah. You know what else it applies to? It applies to people. Sometimes I see a person, and the truth is the person is not nice. And I say, you know, the cloud goggle in life is that if a person is not nice or a person is nasty, chances are there's something happening in their life. You know, normal people are nice. Normal people are well adjusted. Normal people know how to give respect. Normal people know how to act. When people act in crazy ways, in nasty, disgusting, disrespectful ways, the Rebbe says it's almost always because there's something else going on in their neshama. But what happens in life? So we know what happens. Somebody's not nice, somebody's nasty, somebody lashes out to me. So what's our reaction? What's our reaction? Write them off. Write them off. Oh, Isvarf, write them off. Write them off. I'm not going to deal with you. Right? Write him right off. Right? Not even a little bit. Right off. Schmendrick. I'm not going to deal with you. That's how you talk. That's how you act. You're nothing. You're a manoeuvre. How are you acting like that? And the truth is, we write people off right and left. We'll say, if we're honest with ourselves, we write people off in all kinds of ways. Some people we actively write off, like, I don't like that guy. Other people we passively write off. In other words, then what we do is, I just avoid them. And I avoid them because there's something about them just makes me uncomfortable. So we'll say, so the problem is, that's only looking at the revealed part of a Jew. There's a whole other, another dimension to a Yid. And the whole other dimension is that every Jew is good. Every Jew is holy. Every Jew is precious. You just sometimes have to peel back all of the layers before ultimately you see the beauty and you see the holiness. Says Rabbi Nachman, that's what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai taught us. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai taught us that just like in the study of Torah, don't just settle for the superficial, but look for the Torah's Hanistar in our interpersonal relationship with other Jews. You have to peel back the layers also and try to find the good. You have to peel back the layers and you have to find the Yid Hanistar. You have to find the hidden Jew. You have to find the good. You have to find the beauty. But the problem is sometimes that goodness, that holiness is covered by layers of schmutz. And that schmutz is so unappealing. That schmutz is so repulsive. I don't want to be anywhere near that schmutz. Rabbi said, but that's what it means to be part of an Am. To be part of an Am means you pull back the layers. You pull back layer of schmutz after layer after layer after layer. And you're bound to find something beautiful. That's why Rabbi Nachman posits that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was metakin. He's the one ultimately who went ahead and what? He remedied the mistake of the students of Rabbi Akiva. They went ahead and just wrote each other off for whatever reason. They didn't love each other. They might have been cordial and nice and civil, but they didn't love each other. Why? Because they only had a superficial view of one another. And Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai gives us the Torah Sanistar, the hidden Torah, and by doing that teaches us to look beneath the surface, to understand that to fully be mekayem mitzvah, you have to recha kamocha. I can't just look at your externality and you can't just look at my externality. We have to peel back the layers of one another, find the good, find the holiness, and find the beauty, and learn to love.
They said that they didn't have COVID for each other. Maybe it wasn't such a negative thing. Maybe they had some, but not the proper amount. They didn't dig deep.
Right.
Even see that. It wasn't like that they were bad. They just, oh, 100%. You're okay. They didn't realize they're actually
great. Agreed. I would even take it a step further, meaning that has to be correct, and I'll tell you why. Because even that lashon of shelo nagu kavod ze laze. You know, like, if you want to talk about, like, in halacha, what's kavod? Kavod is, my father walks in the room, I stand up. It's kavod. Right? Meaning, kavod is active behavioral things. If they were actually mistreating each other, then Chazal would have used a much stronger word. So I think you're 100% right. So doesn't mean they were slamming the door on each other. I'm sure they were holding doors open. They were giving the guy the other with the right of way. Of course, you could take the food first. They were being civil. But there wasn't love. There wasn't love. And if there's no love within Am Yisrael, then the bracha, the divine energy, simply can't come down. And the reason why there was no love is because if you take a look at a superficial view of people, we each have a lot that leaves much to be desired. But if you peel back the layers and you look deep down, look at the Torah Sinister, there's much to love. Shkoyach. I'm sorry. So there's a heter to hate the sin, but never the sinner. Meaning, this is why, you know, this was the famous mice with Bruya and Rabbi Meir, right? The Gemara talks about that there were a bunch of guys, Jews, who were making Rabbi Meir's life miserable. And Rabbi Meir told his wife, I'm going to daven for them to die. And Bruya said, why would you daven for them to die? Daven for them to stop sinning. And Bruya quoted the pasuk. The pasuk says, Yitamu chatoim mina aretz ureshoim od einam. So sin will stop and there'll be no more wicked. She said, it doesn't say yitamu chotim, that the sinner should disappear. Daven for them to do tshuva. So I could hate someone's actions. I could say, I despise what you're doing.
How do you define someone as a rosh for someone to stop? If you respond to someone as a rosh, that means that they have some bad characteristics.
I don't know any rishon. So it's hard. It's hard for me to. I don't know how you would. I'm sorry. No, I'm saying I know rishon ultimately again outside of Klal Yisrael. But within Klal Yisrael, rishon, I don't know. Is a Bernie Madoff a Russia? I guess maybe he's a Russia. Maybe he's a Russia. But even then, what a Nebuch. What a sick person. What a sick person.
Because you can just write it off as mental illness or whatever. But, I mean,
didn't we say right after? There's no such thing as a Russian Marusha, right? There is no such thing.
There is no such, correct. That was Od Ma'at Ve'in Russia. There's no such thing as an absolute Russia. But again, somebody could do a Maisa Russia, a Maisa Resha. So it could be that Reuven does something and it's disgusting. And it's horrible. So I see. I despise that act. I love you. You know, Lahavdil, you know, Rabbi Twersky, there's a great book, by the way. It's called Positive Parenting. It's a wonderful book by Rabbi Twersky. Very good. So in it, he writes, he gives two things I remember from this book, but one of them I'll share with you tonight. He says, you know, if my child does something bad, he says, you never tell a child they're a bad child. You never tell them they're a bad child. You say what you say is, what you did was bad. That action is not good. But to call a child a bad child, Rabbi Twersky says, is profoundly flawed. Because then what the parent is saying is, I'm telling you that your mahus, your essence is that. That's not true. Your actions are bad. And I think that you saw, Rabbi Nachman says this, Yisabashan. So you have to view people. Even people who do very bad things, they're good. They're good people who have done bad stuff. So I despise the act, but I don't hate the person. V'haraya, it's atisna sachicha b'lavavacha. There's a lot against it. It's hard.
I'm very careful to say that.
I'm sorry?
So I'm very careful to say that.
Say that. No,
I'm
saying no. That's a good thing.
It might be.
It's not bilbavecha. It's bisvasecha. It's bisvasecha. I understand. I'm just saying, I think that it's a perspective. I don't know, I find as I get older, you come to realize that people are good at their core. And when people do bad things, almost inevitably there's a backstory. There's something else there. Normal people don't do crazy things. And when you see people that just do stuff that's just like strange, like off the charts behavior. Like you see, it's like, what's going on? What's going on? The truth is, we know for ourselves also. Think about it. We all make mistakes, and sometimes we make pretty big mistakes. Generally, when I make a mistake, there's something else that's wrong in my life. Meaning, abnormal person is not saying hinni mukhra muzuma to commit navera. Usually there's a catalyst for that chit. Like, what was going on? I was depressed about something, upset about something, something didn't go right, I was anxious, or whatever it is, there's always that catalyst. I know that about myself. If I know that about myself, I have to judge others by that as well. It's a tall order. It's much easier, you know, much easier to learn all the shas twice than to do this. But this is it. You see, bracha can't come down from Shamayim if there's not love within our people. Incredible, Yisod.
Can they come down individually to the person who has that within themselves and exemplify through action?
You know, could a person bring down some level of bracha just as an individual? I don't know. You know, again, I would venture to say the answer to that has to be yes, because Ribon Shalom rewards every good deed. But I don't know. You know, when you're talking about God, you know, doling out divine blessing, who knows how that works? You know, who knows what the Netziah says with that? But I said, this is the avoda. It's not easy. But you also see, by the way, how as we get older, I mean, you're all young, I'm getting older. As you get older, you're a young guy, man. You see how, by the way, life, people say life is complicated. Life is actually not all that complicated. Life is pretty simple. People are complicated. See, like, there are like basic yisodos in life. Like learning to love every single person for who they are, for what they are. Very hard. But you know what? It's simple to say it, difficult to implement, but it's one of the major keys to success. One of the major keys to success. So we should be zochah, Meretz Hashem, that we should be zochah to perpetuate the legacy of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. We should take our Torah Sanhedrin. We should learn Torah Sanhedrin. More importantly than learning Torah Sanhedrin, we should live Torah Sanhedrin. Always looking for the Nistar, always looking for that which is hidden within life, and always looking for that which is hidden within the other. Shkoyach.